This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Salamu alayhi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. My dear viewers, welcome back to another live edition of Gardens of the Pious with a new episode, episode number 754 in the Blessed Series of Riyadu Salihin or Gardens of the Pious by the great Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. May Allah have mercy on him. And we'll continue with chapter number 732, and that is the sixth episode in studying the chapter together, such a beautiful chapter that delivers and shares with us great, glad tidings, some of the bounties which Allah the Almighty has prepared for the believers in paradise. May the Almighty Allah make us all among them. Without any further ado, the following hadith, which will be the first in today's episode, is number 1888. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لقاب قوس في الجنة خير مما تطلع عليه الشمس أو تغرب. متفق عليه. الله أكبر. Allah is the greatest. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, in the sound hadith which is narrated by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. And it is agreed upon its authenticity, so we're talking about a highly profound hadith. He says, peace be upon him, the space in heaven, which is similar to something very insignificant of the spaces in the dunya. قَابُ قَوْسِ أَحَدِيكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Al-Qaws is a bow. So the space in heaven, which is equal to the distance between not the two ends of a bow, no, rather between the middle part and the end of a bow, is indeed better than all the upon which the sun rises and sets. Yani, a small space in heaven, which is not even equal to the distance between the two ends of a bow, which is approximately 1 meter, 100 centimeter, or sometimes only 1 yard, 60 centimeter. So when you handle the bow, you hold it from the middle, normally with the left hand if you're right-handed, from the spot on which you have a grip on the bow, to one of its ends, this is half the space or the distance between the two ends. So we're talking about 50 centimeters, half meter or less, depending on what kind of bow you're using. So let's say that half meter, 50 centimeter. The space in heaven, which is equal to 50 centimeter of the dunya, is better than the entire dunya, what it contains. That space in heaven is better than the whole world and what it contains. What does it mean? This hadith is incomplete though, because the first segment of the hadith we studied before with regards to the virtue of going out fi sabilillah, in which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَغَدْوَةٌ أَوْ رَوْحَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Al-Ghadwa, from Al-Ghada, which is to leave early morning. Al-Rawha is to return by the end of the day or to go out by the evening. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, then it specifies which going out, which travel, joining the Muslim army فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Even if it is just a part of the day, a few hours. So as far as the time, the few hours you spend with the Muslim army, fi sabilillah, is better than the entire time and lifetime of the entire dunya and what it contains, and all what happens in it, and all what people earn in it. because it is done for the sake of Allah. Whether you leave early morning, or when the commander of chief of the Muslim army says we're setting out in the evening, so you join the army and you go with them fi sabilillah, anticipating the pleasure of Allah and the reward from Allah, you have earned a space in heaven which is better than the entire world and what it contains. And the pleasure that you're going to experience is better than a pleasure that is experienced by all the lucky people and those who lead a very lavish life throughout the entire lifetime. Just for a few hours you spend fi sabilillah. That is why the next segment which we started of this hadith with, when the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقَابُوا قَوْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. So he used the measurement of something that is related to wars, related to army steeds, related to practicing shooting, which is archery. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the bow and the string is stretched between its two ends. So if we assume that the string is like 1 meter, we're talking about half of it, from the middle to one of its ends. So this very small space, if you were to have it in Jannah, it would be better than the entire dunya and what it contains. Better than what the sun rises upon or sets upon. MashaAllah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged his followers to be strong, to be powerful, and to prepare army and military steeds for their enemies in order to ward them off. So when he says, what the Almighty Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter number 8, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ. There the Almighty Allah commanded that we should prepare power and army steeds and whatever is required for the military preparation in order to frighten the enemies and terrify them before they think of invading any Muslim territory. They will think several times and eventually they will back off. Why? Because they know that Muslims are strong. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ الرَّمِّ, Allah said, prepare for them whatever is needed of power, of strength and preparation and steeds of war. The Prophet ﷺ said, الْقُوَّةَ, here the strength and the power refers to shooting. In the past, it was through archery. When Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu was shooting the enemies on the battlefield, he was the only companion whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the following statement to him. He said, "Irmi fidaka abi wa ummi ya Sa'd." Shoot them, may my father and my mother be sacrificed for you. And this is a word that signifies the person, and it refers to the nobility of the person whom the Prophet ﷺ is addressing, in an appreciation to the talent that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas had. 50 archers, only 50 archers on the Battle of Uhud, by the leave and the help of Allah, were able to defeat an entire army of Abu Sufyan and ward them off of 3,000. And when they neglected their duties, and they descended from the mount of the archers as a messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, have commanded them not to leave their position under any circumstances, the outcome was devastating. And Muslims lost the battle after they initially won it. Well, so archery is very important. If you still practice archery and shooting today, it's great. But also it requires to improve min quwwatin, and whatever is also required of the steeds of war, airplanes, aircrafts, tanks, missiles, nuclear weapons, drones, prepare whatever you can afford, and in order not only to match your enemies with regards to power and strength, but to also beat them, to be ahead of them. Because whether you like it or not, wars are inevitable. And if you don't have a strong army, you're a biscuit. They will devour you. And you have a strong army, but is unfortunately used to suppress your own people, then you're an agent, like many Muslim countries. So they never actually mobilize their armies to liberate and to assist or help the weak and oppressed. Rather, they're only used to suppress their own people. This is not what is meant. Allah said, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ whom, to terrify and terrorize whom, عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ, the enemies of Allah and your enemies. So in the same line, the Prophet ﷺ spoke about Al-Qab, which is from the handle to one end of the bow. As I said, maximum 50 centimeters. If you happen to possess a space like that in heaven, wallahi, that will be better for you than the entire world and what it contains. The following hadith is hadith number 1889. We have a sound hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim and narrated by Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن في الجنة سوقا يأتونها كل جمعة فتهب ريح الشمال فتحسو في وجوههم وثيابهم فيزدادون حسنا وجمالا فيرجعون إلى أهليهم وقد ازدادوا حسنا وجمالا فيقول لهم أهلوهم والله لقد ازددتم حسنا وجمالا فيقولون وأنتم والله لقد ازددتم بعدنا حسنا وجمالا. ما شاء الله. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said in the sound hadith which is narrated by Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, in heaven there is a market to which the people will visit on regular basis. Let me just cover up the word every Friday for now, and I will explain why later on. Then in this marketplace, the northern wind will blow, and then it will shower fragrance on their faces and upon their clothes. And consequently, it will enhance their beauty and loveliness. They will then return to their wives, who will also have increased in their beauty and loveliness. And their families will say to them, we swear to the Almighty Allah that you guys have been increased in beauty and loveliness. You become much prettier, more handsome than we left you since leaving us. Thereupon, they too will respond to them saying, and we also swear to Allah that you also have been increased in beauty and loveliness since we left you. What we have here, what we have is, mashallah, that Ahlul Jannah, the dwellers of paradise, they never age. No aging. You never get old. Neither men nor women. As for women, كَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ, all same age. Young, pretty, no wrinkles, no cellulites, no aging, no weakness in any parts of their bodies. Same for men. They look handsome all the time. The only changes that take place to them is that they become more handsome. They become prettier. They become more attractive. And the Prophet ﷺ gave an example of how in heaven there is a marketplace. One thing at a time. Why marketplace? Do we need to buy anything? Do we have to pay for any goods? Absolutely not. The Almighty Allah already declared, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Anything you dream of, you get it in a blink of an eye. You think of it, and it is sitting right in front of you, whichever form or way you like. Any food, any drink, any pleasure, mashallah. So why marketplace? We want to meet. We want to see a lot of people. We're not going to sit in the same place tight. We want to go out. We want to hang out. We want to chill out. We want to have fun. We're already in fun, but we want to meet other people. So, okay. So this place is like a place that they all meet. يَأْتُونَهَا كُلَّ جُمْعَةٍ Shaykh, I caught you guys. Because you say the hadith is a sound hadith. In Jannah, will there be sun and moon? No. There will not be sun and moon. There will not be sunrise and sunset. Time is unlimited. Wide open. So why did he say Kulla Jumu'ah? He's addressing whom? He's addressing people who are living on earth. The word Kulla Jumu'ah is like on weekly basis. So the time span which normally we spend, like we have a weekend. So similar to that, like every certain time, they will go to this marketplace. Like we go over the weekend when I visited Dubai and Abu Dhabi when I was very young. On Friday, I saw people standing in the streets in thousands. What is this? They're all in an open marketplace area. So this is their day off. When Friday was their day off, what they do? They stand. They chat. Especially the Indo-Pak. Thousands and thousands of them. So they chill out. They get to meet each other and so on. So this is a place in Jannah where they will get to meet each other on a regular basis. While they're meeting, their family members, their women, and their Hurul Ain will be in their tents, which is made of huge pearl. We said that the height is 160 miles towards heaven. One single pearl. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while they're meeting, the northern wind, al-rih. And we said in the Quran, normally al-rih refers to the violent wind and destructive storm, but not all the time. Okay? Birihin tayyiba. So there is rih, but if it is attached to the word goodly wind, it is okay. In this case, the northern wind is sufficient. Why? Because the Arab back then were very familiar with the al-rih al-shamaliyya, or the northern wind, which comes from the direction of Asham. When the wind blows from the northern part, yani coming from the direction of Asham towards Mecca and At-Taif, the Meccans would rejoice because this northern wind only brings about goodness, the cloud, which means the rain, then the herbage, then the livestock will be able to eat, will be able to save water for ourselves and our cattle. So that's why they love the wind which blows from the northern side. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Jannah, al-rihu shamaliyya, referring to what they like, will blow. But it will not blow with dust. It will not blow with sand. Huh? Along with the pollinization and along with the rain. No, no, no. It will blow fragrance, musk and oud, and beautiful fragrance, which will cover their faces and will blow upon their clothes. So as a result, their faces will get prettier and they will smell much better than they left. They already smelled beautiful and very attractive. But now after this northern wind blow, it will bring about the beautiful fragrance and the beauty. So when they return to their families, everyone will go to their palaces, their homes in Jannah. So his wife and his family say, wow, you look much prettier. You smell much better than the way we left you. He says, wallahi, you too. So according to the hadith, in Jannah, you only get better and better and better. And throughout the time, you get better, prettier, more handsome, smelling beautiful. You never get bored. MashaAllah. Wallahi wa antum. Wallahi laqad izdattum ba'dana husnan wa jamala. Having said so, my dear audience, don't you think it is really worth it to get up at night in order to pray tahajjud, to recite your Quran before you leave for your work, to pray Fajr on time and sit to recite your adhkar, to make sure and to be keen to pray all the nawafil, especially the emphatic, because if you observe them on a regular basis, guaranteed, guaranteed that the Almighty Allah will build a house for you in paradise, a house. And if we're talking about qabu qawsi ahadikum fil jannah is better than the entire world and what the sun rises upon, then imagine Allah the Almighty is building a house for one of His servants in Jannah. How would it look like? Yes, indeed. So we perceive life as a home of cultivating, and the hereafter is a home of harvesting what we cultivated and what we planted. So let's compete. Let's work harder. Let's take advantage of every day of our lives. Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah be pleased with him, the great faqih of Iraq and one of the masters of the At-Tabi'een, said, "You and me, you're just a bunch of days. Whenever one day is gone, then a part of you is gone. And you will never come back until the day of judgment. So take advantage of it. Seize this leisure time. Seize the time that we live in, the opportunity of being able to do things in order to please Allah, in order to be eligible for His reward, in order to distance yourself from hellfire. Fasting one day. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to fast today. I regret. I wasn't feeling good and I was throwing up. But imagine during winter, the best time to fast. Days are short, very short. And it's easy and affordable. It doesn't get as hot as in summer. Fasting one single day will throw you away and distance you far away from hellfire, the distance of 70 years of traveling. Simple acts that we do. These are hadith that we are talking about. The bounties of Allah, of what Allah has prepared, or some of the bounties that Allah the Almighty has prepared for the dwellers of paradise, are in order to encourage us to do more of good deeds and to repent in order to remit some of our many sins. Another hadith before we take a break. Hadith number 1890. We studied a similar hadith in the previous episode. Sahl ibn Sa'd is a very known companion, radiyallahu anhu. Narrated أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أهل الجنة ليتراءون الغرف في الجنة كما تتراءون الكوكب في السماء. متفق عليه. Once again, إن أهل الجنة ليتراءون الغرف في الجنة كما تتراءون الكوكب في السماء. Which means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, indeed the dwellers of heaven will see the upper abodes of heaven as you see the stars in the sky. I know we studied a similar hadith with a slight difference. When the previous hadith was talking about the dwellers of these homes in heaven, these palaces which look like huge pearls. So now we're talking about the rooms themselves, which confirms that Ahlul Jannah will not be treated all the same, but rather Al-Jannatu Darajat. Life in heaven will be different levels. Somebody who's working harder than others, they all enter Jannah, but somebody is ahead of another person, of the same peer, of the same life, of the same age, but he was doing better, greater. One example. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says every morning and every evening, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, 100 times, 100 times, no one will come on the Day of Judgment with better deed than him or her, except somebody who did like him or more. So somebody was, very keen to recite 100, and he made him 150, 200 or even 1,000. Definitely he's the best. He's better than others. Those who say Alhamdulillah, 100 of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, they are doing great. This is what is required. But if you do more, this is for the benefit of your own self. And that is the meaning of وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Concerning this magnificent word which the Almighty Allah has prepared for the dwellers of heaven, let the competitors compete. Because as you look in the moon and they say, it's far away from us. And then they say, Mars, you cannot see it with the naked eye. Jupiter, you definitely, it's far, far away, thousands of light years. Similarly, in Al-Jannah, the distance between the different believers and their different ranks and categories in Jannah will be so vast, so let the competitors compete. Let's take a short break. And even while we're taking a break, fill your time with seeking forgiveness, saying, Astaghfirullah al-Azim wa atubu ilayh. And we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned. رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back. We have some callers on the line and our phone numbers should appear on your screen, and if you have any question please call any of the following numbers. Abdul Jabbar from Turkey. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Go ahead, Abdul Jabbar.
I would like to ask how a normal Muslim who is not a mufti or a sheikh or a da'iya can get into a paradise, the highest level of firdaus.
No.
Because it is a competition, right?
Yes.
How a normal human being who has a job can get compete with muftis of the of his time, or is the Jannah al-Firdaus just specialized for the Sahaba or Murafiqeen?
Wallahi, I believe your question. I believe your question is one of the best questions ever. Jazakallah khairan. First of all, not because a person is a mufti or a grand mufti or a alim, that means guaranteed that he will be in al-Firdaus al-A'la or even he will enter Jannah. The matter revolves initially around the level of sincerity. So if this alim is sincere in passing on this knowledge fi sabilillah and teaching people, educating them to draw the mirror to Allah, yes, he's worth it. And he will be in the company of the prophets and the companions, no doubt. Likewise with a shaheed who dies for the sake of Allah on the battlefield, etc. But Al-Jannah is very vast. And the ratio of the scholars, the muftis and the ulama compared to the rest of the ummah is very small percentage. Al-Jannah, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, is nearer to any of us than tying your shoelace. Remember how the Prophet ﷺ said, a man who removed a branch which fell off a tree and obstructed the path of people, so he removed it fi sabilillah. The Almighty Allah thanked him, he forgave him his sins, and he admitted him to paradise. A woman who gave water to a stray dog with the utmost sincerity, and she was a prostitute, so Allah the Almighty forgave all her sins and gave thanks to her, and he admitted her to Jannah. There are multiple ways. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, any penny that you spend and you intend behind spending that penny, it is fi sabilillah, like feeding your family members, treating your own children, buying clothes and giving gifts to your wife, to your siblings, to your parents, to your relatives, buying even food and clothes for your own self, the earning is lawful and you're doing it fi sabilillah. These are all acts of charity you will be rewarded for. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ لَنْ تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ بِهَا أَجْرًا. When you eat or you drink any meal or any drink or a bite or a sandwich and you say Alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ الْأَكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ يَشْرَبَ الشَّرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا. So by mere eating and drinking and saying Alhamdulillah, that makes Allah pleased with you and happy with you. Da'wah is not limited only to the scholars and the ulama. Yes, we give da'wah. But wallahi, if I keep telling you stories right now about how the laymen and ordinary people are very keen to give da'wah, and they were as effective as the ulama or even more, you will be so impressed. You might not even believe it. A cab driver picked up an atheist girl. This atheist girl later on became one of my students, and she graduated with a BA, and she completed her Islamic studies. She had become a Muslim, and her mom accepted Islam. She became a Muslim. All of that, and the whole family were atheists. That is in New York City. Because the cab driver, who's Bengali, living in the States, from Bangladesh originally, on his business card, he wrote his name and phone number for future services. And on the opposite of the business card, he typed three different websites, Islamic websites. So the girl, by accident, when she went home, she checked out the first website, and she loved it. And she said it was like a magnet. I was mesmerized. For 15 days, I wasn't doing anything but reading and browsing until I came to the conclusion by the end that I want to follow this religion. This website was Islam Q&A. So what did the cab driver do? A cab driver called me and said, I have an American tourist. I would like to make a Muslim, but I don't know English. I cannot communicate with him. Not only that, he doesn't know how to give da'wah. He doesn't speak English. So I said, okay, can you bring him over? And he drove for about 2 hours. And when we sat together, alhamdulillah, after, by the end of the meeting, he accepted Islam and he took shahada. And then he started learning how to pray, and he fasted the entire Ramadan after he took shahada and accepted Islam. He was an American doctor. And 6 months after taking shahada, while he was praying, he died in his sujood. Okay? This cab driver, every now and then, whenever he picks up a tourist, he brings him over. MashaAllah. An ordinary person. The person who gave shahada to Yusuf Estes, then eventually and subsequently Yusuf Estes gave shahada to tens of thousands of people, was not a scholar, was not a learned person, was a very humble and ordinary person. May Allah have mercy on his soul. So you can do a lot. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. If you only know one ayah, convey it. When a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, just tell me what Allah wants me to do. So the Prophet ﷺ shared with him the mandatory acts of worship and the voluntary ones. And he said, I swear to Allah, I would only do what is mandatory. I will not do any more nor less. And Nabi ﷺ said, by Allah, if he fulfills what he said, he shall enter paradise. Paradise is not only booked for certain people because they obtained a degree, but definitely al-ulama'u al-amilun. The scholars, the muftis, who practice what they preach, who are God-fearing, are up there. They will be in the company of the prophets. May Allah the Almighty make us among them. A businessman who has plenty of wealth, he's a multi-millionaire or a multi-billionaire, but he's not a scholar, and he's utilizing his wealth to support not only those who are in need, the scholars who are going out for da'wah and dedicating their lives to study fi sabilillah. So he sponsored 50 seekers of knowledge. Those future ulama, whatever they do of good deeds, it will be also in the scale of his good deeds. So kullun muyassarun lima khuliqa lah. Everyone will find it easy to do what he or she were created for. Thank you, respected brother. That was a lovely question. Assalamu alaikum. Faraz from Sri Lanka. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sheikh. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Go ahead.
So before asking the question, I have to tell you something. I was stuck in from 2019 to 2022 in a problem due to Easter attack. Then it was your TV, Huda TV and Peace TV was the backup for me because I was stuck in Qatar and they gave a TV. And I learned a lot of things from you and other sheikhs, Sheikh Hasin Al Hakim and others also. May Allah bless you all. May Allah bless and reward you much more.
Ameen. Thank you, Firas. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah accept. Now, what is your question?
I have got babies. It's twins, Sheikh. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Allahumma barik.
Then I want to name them. Then I went through research. Then I found out that Hawla bint Al-Azwar and Virar bint Al-Azwar. No, Al-Azwar. So I want to name them, but there is a confusion in the name with Virar. So is it okay to name them with their names or is there any confusion?
No. It is not okay to name Dirar. Not every name that you find, even if it was one of the names of the companions that you use, choose beautiful names, right? So you have a boy and a girl?
Yeah.
Okay. If I may choose for you a name, Safiya for your daughter, okay? Or Habiba, or Aisha, or Tasneem. And for the boy, either Muhammad or Ahmed, or Umar, or Uthman, or Ali. These are all beautiful names. Barakallahu feek, akhi. May Allah bless you and your family. Thank you, Firas, and congratulations. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Aslam from Ethiopia, assalamu alaikum. Aslam, assalamu alaikum. Okay, let's take another caller. So in the same line, by the time they take the next caller, and this is not to propagate our project or anything. In the same line, we have people who are busy with work and with making money, piling up wealth, progressing their companies day and night. May Allah bless them, as long as it is from halal. They have a couple thousand people working for them. They pay salaries a couple $1 million every month. May Allah bless them. This is also an act of worship. I was talking to one of the business owners yesterday when he was telling me that the business is going down and we're losing. But he's become a mean of opening thousands of homes. So by itself, that's a business. This is a great act of worship. Some people could save the hassle and put their money in the bank or invest it with somebody else and they just stay at home. They do their ibadah. Those who are taking the risk in order to support others, employ people. Wallahi, this is a great act of worship. Through Huda TV in the past couple years, alhamdulillah, we have over 22,000 new Muslims through our Huda platforms. Did you hear the number? Over 22,000 new Muslims since 2020. MashaAllah. Do we have a printer? We will print money. A couple days ago, one of the ministers in the States or the governor of the central bank was saying that in America, we have all the right to print as much money as we want. And no one has any say with us. So they can print dollars in billions. They don't have to match that with gold or with anything else. Subhanallah. We don't have this here. We don't have this capacity here. To produce a new program, to travel here or there in order to produce and present something presentable, something that your son and daughter would love to watch, to invite a scholar from the US or from the UK or from here and there to film a program, it costs thousands. And we don't have that printer. We do not print money. somebody says, okay, I'm sponsoring this program or two programs to be aired during Ramadan, and we share it with five different TV stations and channels, and it is all for free online, alhamdulillah, where mashallah hundreds of thousands of people might pass by, might watch it, might benefit out of it. So those who supported and sponsored the production of the program share the same reward like the presenter. If any person had become rightly guided, wallahi, on my page I get messages from people say, I'm not Muslim, but I love to watch your program. I'm benefiting so much. And we also have people who have taken Shahada live on air after they were very aggressive against Islam and the Prophet of Islam. So competing with the other corrupt media in a beautiful way to present the message of the Almighty Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam isn't for free. It is not for free. We cannot feed our family members air or papers. We cannot produce these programs and pay for the utilities, the light, the camera, the cost, the rent for the media city and the satellite out of air. We don't have that printer. So when somebody says, I am sponsoring this program or these programs, the more you do, the better for your own self. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَدَّلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِ. You know what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about al-mujahid fi sabilillah? مَنْ جَهَزَ غَازِيًا أَوْ خَالَفَهُ فِي أَهْلِ بِخَيْرِ فَكَأَنَّمَا غَزَى. So when a soldier joins a Muslim army and somebody says, don't worry about your family, I'll look after them, mashallah. Even though he did not literally join the army, he did not fight, he did not expose his life to the danger of dying, but he is looking after the family of this mujahid, this officer, they're the same. فَكَأَنَّمَا غَزَى. As if he was carrying arms and hewn to the army and received the training. Why? Because of him, this guy was able to travel and to protect his country and defend his deen and his people. Somebody's looking after my family though. So when you say that, if I'm an ordinary person, how can I compete with the ulama? There are multiple ways. Ramadan is approaching. Ramadan is approaching. Who produced programs for Ramadan? We haven't covered the cost yet. Say, I would like to cover the cost of Ask Huda. It's aired once a day, every day during Ramadan. Quranic competition will be aired on daily basis in Ramadan, mashallah. Live shows and pre-recorded shows will be aired in Ramadan. We just finished filming a beautiful program in Johannesburg and surrounding cities called Forgotten Sunan. Beautiful program. It cost a lot of money. So say, I'm going to sponsor this program. I'm going to cover the cost of this program. And this is how you share the reward. Barakallah fikum. We have a final call. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Abdullah from Lebanon.
Alaikum salam.
Go ahead, Abdullah.
How are you, Sheikh? I hope you're doing fine. I have a question, please.
Yeah.
There is a woman, for example, she is very pious. Mm. She's hafiz for the Quran, full Quran. She knows it. This woman, she has two sisters. So there are total three sisters. Mm. This pious woman, when she dies, she's going to the highest level because she's hafiz of the Quran. But her two sisters are not the same deeds. One of them is muqtasid. She's only doing the five mandatory prayers. Mm. But the other one is not praying. So can she make wasta for them to take them both of them to the highest level? And plus they are married. Can these two sisters take their husbands with them to be upgraded with them? Because the both of them are married. So this pious sister who's in heaven, can she take both of them? Because she can take her sister to be upgraded, for example, to Firdaus, because she is very pious. Can she take both of them, and can she take their husbands, because all of them are married? Even though one of them is muqtasid, she's only praying the five daily prayers, and the other one is not even praying. She's a Muslim, she loves God, but she doesn't pray. So still, with the small deeds,
you're reminding me of somebody. Every time he meets me, he says, I want to make my children half of the Quran so that they can intercede for me and pick me up to heaven. So, Abdullah, Jazakallah khairan for your lovely question. There is the aspect of intercession or shafa'ah and promotion or an upgrade, but this is entirely up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of us should think about what am I supposed to do to benefit myself in the first place, and not to rely on the aspect of shafa'ah, because you never know whether you will be eligible or not. Not every person will be eligible for promotion or to be upgraded. If you know that you are muqtasid, if you know that you're not doing that much, why not compete with the person who's doing pretty good, your sister or your husband or your brother-in-law or whoever. The life of this world is a home of planting. So you know that you have some shortcomings. You barely pray the fard, and you know that the nawafil will help a great deal in order to improve. So instead of relying on your sister to help you on the Day of Judgment, which may or may not happen, okay? Allah said, "Man ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه." Then do good to benefit yourself. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whosoever does an atom weight of good shall see it, and whosoever does an atom weight of evil shall see it and be recompensed for it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Till next time, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah, our God is the greatest, the one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best religion to them. So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about Him in paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling the best with the cheapest price. So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about hell and paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling the best with the cheapest price.